Halifax Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fast Amai, welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's the 1st of May and it's 5 o'clock, which means it's time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, after being illegally imported to the island last year, an American XL bully type dog has been put to sleep. There are big changes over at the airport and we hear why a bus stop is causing difficulties for a resident in Jerby. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. As always, let us know your thoughts. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast Amai, Siobhan.
Fast Amai. Manx Utilities says that whilst developing renewable energy solutions such as the Kervai Wind Farm project, it will always follow due process, which involves comprehensive environmental impact assessments and the implementation of mitigation measures. In a statement issued to Manx Radio, the public utility body says the studies for the Kervai project are being undertaken by experts in the environment, and the design and mitigation approach will be reviewed by independent experts as part of the planning process. That statement in full is at manxradio.com. A Legislative Council member has responded to questions about a company registered at his home address, which holds a government contract. Rob Mercer says that whilst Earth Scope Limited, which delivers government carbon literacy training, is based at his home, it's run by his daughter and her partner. A Jerby landowner is calling for a local bus stop to be relocated after applying to convert the shelter on his land into private storage. He says the structure, which he owns, has become a hotspot for littering, antisocial behaviour and suspected drug use. He's also escalated issues to the police.
But of course, when they've been called, it then begs the question, will there be repercussions when the kids get moved on? You know, that they might take it out on me, on my property. You know, I just want to live here peacefully.
And tributes are being paid following the death of a key member of the Joey Dunlop Foundation. The organisation is describing Kevin Quirk, one of the charity's original trustees, as a driving force behind its work. Further afield, Donald Trump's national security advisers reportedly leaving his post just 100 days into the president's term in office. The Reuters news agency says Mike Waltz will depart along with his deputy, Alex Wong. A 14-year-old boy is being questioned by police in connection with a double stabbing on Merseyside, and members of the public managed to capture a rampaging bulldog which was trying to bite the legs of two police horses last Monday. Bystanders stepped in when the animal started snapping at their legs in West London. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Grow my head. Thank you, Siobhan Fletcher. Let's turn our attention to the weather now from the Ronalds Way Met Office, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Well, it's just been announced it was the third warmest April on record and a warm start to May as well today. Currently 16 degrees over at the airport. Dry this evening with sunny intervals, but breezy with a moderate to fresh north to northwest wind, then staying dry tonight with clear spells as the north to northwest wind falls light later in the night. Minimum temperature around 7 degrees. Tomorrow will be fine and dry with lengthy sunny spells, a little cooler than of late with the mainly moderate northwesterly wind, but with temperatures reaching up to 14 degrees at best. Saturday will be dry with plenty of sunshine as the north to northwest wind gradually freshens, top temperature around 14 degrees again, and remaining dry on Sunday with variable amounts of cloud and some bright or sunny spells. Breezy with a fresh northeasterly wind and maximum temperature of 12 degrees. Sunset tonight is at 10 to 9, sunrise tomorrow morning at 20 to 6.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great late night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now, 5 past 5, an American XL bully type dog has been put to sleep after being illegally imported to the Isle of Man last year. Following court proceedings, Charlie's owner admitted he'd been illegally imported after a ban was put in place. The decision was made in line with a law approved by Tynwald in 2023. Animal rescuer Anita Williams, who founded Animals in Distress Isle of Man, told Manx Radio it's sad the dog had to be put to sleep, but there's no way of changing the law.
I'm totally against any healthy dog being put to sleep, but the only one that can take the responsibility of this is the owner, because this BSL has been going on for quite a few years now. We're all against it. We all campaigned against it, but it happened, and there's nothing we can do about it. It is a law. My friend Kerry has a massive rescue in Scotland where it's just bullies and big breed dogs, and she's got massive kennels now, and she protects as many dogs as she can from being put to sleep. But, you know, even she'll tell you, it's the actual owners that don't take the responsibility of their dog.
Does it also kind of shine a light on this act that's in force?
There's nothing we can do about it. We can't move the ban. We can't change the government's law. So you have to abide by it. And it's sad that he has been put to sleep. Hopefully it's a warning to everybody that brings a BSL dog onto the island, that you do the correct procedure of having one of these dogs.
Certainly a sad situation. Anita Williams there from Animals in Distress Isle of Man, speaking to Manx Radio's Chanel Suku. Now it's 5:07. There should be less waiting around on the tarmac at Ronald's Way from today, as the airport confirmed the number of air traffic control closures have been reduced. Officials made the announcement yesterday evening. Siobhan Fletcher joins me now. Siobhan, what do we know?
Yeah, Lewis. So until today, the aerodrome was closing daily from 8:30 until 9:05 a.m. and from 11 till 11:35 a.m. But airport officials say a significant number of these closures will no longer be necessary going forward, thanks to ongoing training of new air traffic controllers. You might remember those closures being first introduced in summer 2023. They were due to a shortage of qualified air traffic controllers to allow for necessary rest breaks in accordance with regulatory requirements. However, the airport has confirmed it can now adjust its staffing rosters to help reduce that impact on daily operations.
Have they said why those breaks couldn't be reduced until now?
Yes, so they say these changes couldn't have been made sooner, as training a new air traffic controller takes 3 to 4 years, and experienced controllers who relocate from other airports still require 6 to 18 months for local certification. Additionally, it must comply with strict fatigue management regulations to ensure safe operations.
Now, elsewhere, they've also announced that they're making some updates to security, haven't they? What does that entail?
Yes, so new security machines are being installed in the coming weeks to comply with UK Department for Transport regulations. The first machine upgrade began today before work will be paused during the peak TT period to minimise disruption then. The second machine upgrade will then occur after that period concludes. The airport says this work was originally planned for the quieter winter months, but it was hit with a supply chain issue affecting the availability of critical parts.
The important question, Siobhan, will these changes mean anything for passengers travelling through the airport?
In short, Lewis, not much. Passenger procedures will remain unchanged, with liquids under 100 millilitres placed in clear plastic bags and laptops removed from hand luggage during screening, that sort of thing. But whilst this work is undertaken, passengers are being warned of longer queues, as only one security machine will be operational at a time. The airport says extra staff will be available to assist with passenger flow. It's worth noting these new scanners will not be the more advanced C3 scanners. They're the ones where you can leave liquids and electronics in your bag. If you've been through Liverpool Airport recently, you'll have experienced the wait there as they're installed. Installing them would require a major terminal redevelopment, which the airport says is not currently viable. And the UK Department for Transport has not mandated the use of that technology for the Isle of Man Airport yet at this time.
Okay, Siobhan Fletcher, Gurra Mayad.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And now it's 5:10. It's been a long-term goal of Manx Care to try and help educate the public about which of its resources they should use and when. Knowing what might need a doctor's attention, for example, or what could have an easy over-the-counter treatment from the pharmacist. But are more and more people turning to the emergency department at the hospital for help because they can't get a GP appointment? The British Medical Association has suggested GPs should have no more than 25 patient contacts a day. But what's the actual picture? John Moss has been speaking to the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson, who's also a practicing GP.
The British Medical Association have been very keen on looking at the workforce planning for general practice, but also the pressures on GPs. We know that's been building up and up. We know that quite a few GPs have left the profession because of workforce pressures. So it is a matter of balancing that. Now, they've produced some recommendations about the optimum list size per GP and the optimum number of patient contacts you should have each day. In practice, GPs will see people. They will go above and beyond a mere number to make sure that they're dealing with the needs that people are coming in. But what we've also got within the healthcare mandate that was debated in Tynwald this month is the extension of extra people into general practice, like physiotherapists, like counsellors, like pharmacists, nurse practitioners, nurse prescribers, so that when people need to see somebody in primary care, it may not actually have to be a GP. It can be any one of that healthcare team.
So more particular to their problem.
Yes, absolutely. Because we've had this week the opening up of self-referral for physiotherapy. For those people who have an acute bad back, waiting to see a GP, actually the far better use of people's time is to self-refer themselves to a physiotherapist and get that hands-on expertise and advice that they'll get from that way.
Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Allinson there speaking to John Moss. Well, Manx Care has agreed to speak to Manx Radio about this issue, so we'll hear from them soon. Now, a member of the Legislative Council has responded after questions were raised about a government contractor being registered at his home address. Christian Jones has been looking into this. Just talk us through the background to this story, Christian.
Yeah, so this relates to MLC Rob Mercer, who chairs Tynwald's Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee. Now, an article by Manx.news reported that Earthscope Limited, which delivers government's carbon literacy training, is registered at Mr. Mercer's home in Port St. Mary. The article also pointed out that he's not declared any links to the business in his Tynwald Register of Members' Interests.
So what has Mr. Mercer said in response?
Well, in a statement, he says the company is owned and run by his daughter and her partner, but he has no involvement in its operations. He's not a director, a shareholder, or a beneficial owner, and says his register of interests is accurate and up to date. Mr. Mercer also says he has disclosed the connection through a related party transaction form, which is published in government's audited financial statements, and Manx Radio can actually confirm that is true.
Okay, thanks, Christian. And what about concerns over his committee role?
Well, Mr. Mercer says his committee does not oversee departmental spending, and that remains the responsibility of individual departments and Treasury. He does add, though, that he follows all conflict of interest guidance and is satisfied that any potential conflicts have been properly declared. He concludes by saying that he's committed to transparency and is open to speaking with anyone that has concerns or suggestions.
Christian Jones, thank you.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
We'll head on over to the roads. The mountain road will close again this evening from 6 between Craignabar and the bungalow. It's for work to continue on the road surface. The closure will be in place overnight and through tomorrow until no later than 6. DOI says every effort will be made to get the road open before the evening rush hour tomorrow. In Greba, those temporary lights on the main road near Greba Castle have now been lifted. They're not there anymore. The works there completed earlier today. In Santon, temporary lights on the new Castletown Road near Mount Murray for resurfacing there. And in Douglas, Market Street will be closed each night this week up to and including tomorrow night, 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. from the back of M&S to Victoria Street for fibre installation works. During the time of the closure, traffic can travel in both directions on the stretch of Market Street that remains open. If you're travelling off-island, no problems to report over at the airport. All flights expected in and out on time tonight. And on sailings, Manxman is back out on the daytime Heysham crossing today. Expected back here in Douglas in around 45 minutes' time. Meanwhile, Manannan is on her way to Liverpool and will be arriving there at around 6:05.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Heyside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's 5:15. A Jerby landowner is calling for a local bus stop to be relocated after applying to convert the shelter on his land into private storage. He says the structure, which he owns, has become a hotspot for littering, antisocial behaviour and suspected drug use. The planning move has drawn criticism from some residents, but the landowner says the issue is affecting his quality of life. He's also escalated issues to the police.
I saw it on the drawings before I bought the house and thought little of it. But then since taking ownership, I've taken care of the structure and been going in there weekly to clean it up. Now, initially, it wasn't much of a problem. However, about 2 or 3 years ago, I noticed that each time I went in, there was an increasing amount of litter. And it was clear that it was also being used as a place for people to smoke drugs and use as a toilet. So I went down to the land registry and queried the ownership of it. I said, look, as far as I'm concerned, it's on my plot. I think it's mine. But if it isn't, if there's any other kind of legal reason why somebody else thinks they might own it, then perhaps it's time they started to maintain it. Anyway, the lady at the land registry said, no, it's definitely on your plot, which means it's definitely yours. So I then approached Bus Vanning. I went down to see them and asked if they could move or build another shelter elsewhere. Because of the reasons just mentioned. It took about 6 emails, and then eventually I actually went down to see them because they weren't replying to the emails. And to date, nothing's happened. I was in there last week, and it was clear it's been used as a toilet again. There was vomit in there. So I cleaned it all out and went and spoke with the planning department about a change of use from a shelter to a storage shelter. Of course, I've had to put the yellow labels up, and this is what sparked the row. So it's been met with hostility, but spoken with Bus Vanning and said, look, can you recite this stop elsewhere? Because it's causing a problem for me at the moment. The fact that it's affecting my quality of life, it's on my land, and obviously my rates are structured around the number of buildings that are on it. So I'm paying for it and everybody else is abusing it. And I don't want to see anybody stood out in the rain, which is why I've gone and approached Bus Vanning prior to actually carrying out any work. You know, I just want to live here peacefully. I think that the attention should be focused at Bus Vanning just to encourage them to get something else up.
It's tricky, isn't it? Well, Bus Vanning has confirmed it's aware of the planning application and will be making a contribution. Now, a new chairman has been appointed at Braddon Commissioners this afternoon. Neil Mellon will take on the role for the next year and Andrew Jessop will serve as vice chairman for the same period. The local authority has dealt with a number of issues over the last year, including the opening of the roundhouse, building an access road to the site, and leaky windows in Mullandowie. But speaking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper, Mr. Mellon says he's feeling positive.
I really appreciate the faith and the confidence that people are investing in me to fill this role.
The commissioners have been through a rough ride, I think it's fair to say, over the last few years. So how will you be making sure that that's concluded and that it's a bit smoother from now on?
I'd like to look at a number of initiatives, one of which does involve helping fill the gap between commissioners and the public. We have space on our meetings every fortnight for the public to attend, but I like to actually invite them in rather than wait for them to come up with the occasional complaint or for a specific reason. I think we should be talking directly to companies in Braddon, putting Braddon first and saying, OK, what is it, and helping them. I'd also like to see us get involved with the children at both schools in the parish and having them involved in having a mini commissioners meeting. So a lot to look forward to this year.
What do you think are the key things that you'll be dealing with over the next year? I obviously imagine this building right now, the roundhouse is probably quite at the top of the list.
We're pleased with how the roundhouse is going, and money is now coming in through rent of our units. The final part of the plan, bringing the chemist in, that's going to happen soon. Job done after that. It's a case of getting through the next 30 years as we pay off our costs. But there's other things that we need to get on with.
The new chairman at Braddon Commissioners, Neil Mellon, speaking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. 20 past five now, and we're talking wind farms again, as Manx Utilities says that while developing renewable energy solutions, such as the Cairvy wind farm project, it will always follow due process, which involves comprehensive environmental impact assessments and the implementation of mitigation measures. In a statement issued to Manx Radio, the public utility body says the studies for the Cairvy project are being undertaken by experts in the environment, and the design and mitigation approach will be reviewed by independent experts as part of the planning process. The statement is in the wake of demands from the Cairvy Resistance Pressure Group for the proposed wind farm to be scrapped. Simon Richardson reports.
The group cites a French court ruling that generator EDF Renewables was responsible for the deaths of around 160 protected birds at a wind farm in the country. The firm was fined €500,000. Whilst the Manx Utility statement doesn't refer to the pressure group by name, it points out that consultations took place last year across the island, with an opportunity for views to be submitted on the Cairvy proposals. The utility body says it understands that members of the pressure group were present at all events. All the information is, they say, publicly available on the Manx Utilities website. At the present time, Manx Utilities says it's focused on completing the environmental impact assessment work for a planning application submission. It will include a suite of proposals to ensure maximum benefit for nature alongside the development. Also, it states the formal planning process is designed to provide a further opportunity to provide feedback on the project. Further engagement is also planned to support the planning application itself. Cairvy Resistance believes that the proposed wind farm, in what they say is a BirdLife-designated important bird area, could spell disaster for biodiversity.
Simon Richardson. The Department of Infrastructure will cover the gap left in Northern Civic Amenity Site's finances following its takeover by government. A Freedom of Information request has revealed that £48,950 will be paid from the department's internal budget resources, with each Northern local authority now paying a new fee. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
The Northern Civic Amenity Site was threatened with closure after Bride Commissioners pulled out of the committee, which operates it, and refused to pay its contribution. However, the DOI has since taken over, and Ramsey Commissioners is now operating the site on behalf of the department. Bride Commissioners will now be paying the lease at £11,900, whilst Ramsey Commissioners is paying £255,948, which is the majority of the cost. Andrews Commissioners is now paying more than £36,000, and Belaf Commissioners' fee is just over £27,000. Jerby Commissioners has agreed to pay £20,500, whilst Lazare Commissioners will be contributing just over £39,000. The Mackled Ward of Garth Commissioners will be paying more than £29,000. In an email, Deputy Chief Officer of the DOI, Geoffrey Robinson, said it made a pragmatic decision to keep the site open until a more sustainable option has been found. In a separate email, Mr. Robinson told local authorities that if not all of them agreed to the costs, then the planned closure would have stood. He also said he wants to continue working with the local authorities to find a practicable solution for the ratepayers of the North. The FOI also revealed that contracts for the revised payments were sent out on Friday the 28th of March, and Bride Commissioners sent it back to Mr. Robinson on 31st of March, the day before the site was due to close to the public.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper there. Now, let's catch up with the latest sporting news. Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard joins me now. Faster my Rob.
Faster my Lewis. Well, first off in football, Onchan AFC have secured the 2024-25 Canada Life Combination 1 League title. The O's have been confirmed as champions with a game to spare after their nearest challengers, Ramsey, suffered a 4-2 defeat at home to Russian United last night. The results saw Russian United move up to second in the table on 52 points, ahead of Ramsey on 50 points, with both of those teams now having played all of their 22 league games. Onchan sit at the top of the standings on 53 points with one more still to play. An away tie against Foxdale this coming Saturday will separately one other game took place in Canada Life Combination 1 on Wednesday evening, with Corinthians earning a 5-2 win at Foxdale. Well, that now means all of the championship titles have now been decided, with just a handful of league games left to play across the divisions in Manx football for the 24-25 campaign. Peel have already won the Canada Life Men's Premier League title. Braddon are Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 champions, with the Combination 1 and 2 crowns going to Onchan and Colby respectively. Well, football is continuing this evening with the semi-finals of this year's Cowell Cup competition for under 21 sides. Braddon host Russian United and Ramsey welcome Onchan. Both games kick off at 6:15 p.m. And elsewhere, the Isle of Man has confirmed a 24-strong athletics team to compete at the 2025 Ireland Games this summer. The squad has an even split of male and female competitors, with no fewer than 11 individuals set to make their Games debuts in Orkney. Five of those debutants will be in the half-marathon events, including Krista Kane, who broke her own Isle of Man women's marathon record in London last weekend. There'll also be two gold medalists from the previous Games in Guernsey, in the form of Corin Leeming and Regan Corrin. In the women's team, Georgia Price will make her maiden Ireland Games appearance as part of the athletics lineup, having previously represented the Isle of Man at the Games in gymnastics. At the last Games in 2023, the Isle of Man finished third in the athletics medals table on 15, with 7 gold, 3 silver and 5 bronze, bested only by hosts Guernsey and Saaremaa. Well, the 2025 Ireland Games are scheduled to take place in Orkney from the 12th to the 18th of July, and you can view the Isle of Man's athletics squad in full at manxradio.com.
Rob Pritchard, grow on my head, thank you. That's it for Update Tonight. Up next, Bob Carswell is here with Shaq Lair, and Chris Kinley is here at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, as always, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast, available shortly over at manxradio.com. It's another fine evening, so have a good one, enjoy, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.